Amber, where did you get those beans?
I grew them because I'm an artist farmer who also has hermit crabs at the moment.
But I thought pods and, you know.
Oh,
No, it's too late. It's too late.
Fine. I got them from the farm and they were encased in this brown thing.
Sort of a brown thing?
Maybe a dried up pod.
A pod?
A pod!
Pods?
I could even write a Q on them.
And then they...
Q's on the pod?
Close enough.
I could write them inside the pod, too.
No, okay. Too late.
Fine. Daniel, who are you?
Secular occultist extraordinaire.
And I'm Tom Quackenbush, fantasy author. A lot of misguided opinions because I'm white and privileged.
but buy his books on Amazon anyways.
Do it anyway because I mean well. I'm learning.
Nightstream series.
Nightstream series. Good stuff. We'll link it in the show notes.
And I do have to say, like, I believe there's one, like, completely valid, like, circumstance in which cornrows can be on anybody without, you know, the specter of you know, appropriation. MMA.
Although
specifically women's MMA, because, you know.
Well, what about when white tourists go to foreign lands and the locals cornrow their hair for money? Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. It's one of those things that, like, personally, I don't feel strongly about it either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can also see the valid concerns and you know, rich white people stealing this style. Then again, like most of our culture is essentially appropriation because, you know, it's what we do.
And like, yeah, exactly. Like, at what point do you draw the line? Like, the same thing is about native plants. Like, there's a whole thing about growing native plants in your garden. But what do you count as a native plant? Like, lamb squatters came over here from another country at one point.
Yeah,
like, do you draw it 100 years ago? Like, where do you draw the line?
I mean, all sorts of rules of that sort are going to be arbitrary by their very nature, because, you know, relativity. But at the same time, like, I do think you can build a comprehensive framework to make those decisions, but it is definitely, like, at the end of the day, an arbitrary decision.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I find problematic? That bush that creates ticks.
Barberry. I'm having mixed feelings about it now.
But it grows ticks, and ticks are terrible.
Well, it only grows ticks, possibly, because it creates a home for them that deer won't eat. But you can also make medicine out of it that helps with Lyme disease.
So,
what the crap?
Apparently.
Jesus, why did you do that?
I think, maybe it doesn't, I could be wrong.
You
but
know,
it,
science from, helps more.
From the person I was mentioning, talking to about, like, I went on a native plant walk. And barberry has a lot, some of the medicinal properties of golden seal, which is another foresty plant that's going extinctish around here. Or, like, it's endangered.
Shouldn't I destroy a barberry and plant golden seal?
Probably.
Okay.
But I mean, like, it could be, like, I don't know. There could be an equilibrium reaching.
Well, and another aspect of that question, of course, is that reality, like, if we weren't here, things would still be changing. Like, the main effect we've had is that we jumpstart things when, you know, European rats accidentally make it to Australia. Yeah.
To everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like any animal that we import to Australia should just be like, no, put me back in the boat. But rabbits destroyed Australia.
Yeah, rabbits.
Stupid little rabbits in the most dangerous country on earth for wildlife.
Well, because they're optimized to breed faster than they're eaten.
True.
Cats are a big problem over there also. Like, they actually finally got a study completed showing that cats are actually reducing the population of marsupials.
Yeah.
Because they had to do, sort of leaving these cameras up overnight, and they finally had one that caught, like, a domestic cat, like, murdering this cute little wallaby.
Aww.
And, like, they'd suspected that was the case, they just hadn't been able to catch it on camera, but...
Yeah.
Cats are predators. They're monsters. They kill for pleasure.
Tiny murder machines.
If you were slightly smaller... A cat would kill you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's slightly smaller. Much smaller.
Slightly smaller for you, Amber.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because they don't often kill babies.
No.
That we know of.
Yeah.
I know it's mostly because... Well, although I always heard There's like a rumor that cats, you shouldn't have cats when you have a baby because they'll sleep on their faces and suffocate them.
Cats Which, do that to people, yeah, I was like say, grown people.
But they don't suffocate plausible. Them.
Well, the actual legend was that they would steal their breath.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a short jump from, you know, waking up to a belly full of cat fur, a face full of cat belly fur. So yeah. Some combination of those words.
Just know how many babies died smelling a cat's ass.
Right. Right?
What?
That's what cats do. They just put their butt right in your face for when you wake up.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird. Although, actually, mine has taken to... She does like to sit on my chest with her little paws, like, up on my collarbone. Aww. And it's very cute, but as I've discussed before, I cannot clip her nails, and she will start to, like, knead, and it can't happen. It's too sharp.
Why can't you clip her nails?
Because she's tiny and squirmy, and it's more effort than it seems worth. Like, okay. You know, we just kind of have a truce. She doesn't claw me up too bad, and I don't hold her down for 15 minutes.
Oh, it was so sad. After because the vet will clip our cat's nails sometimes. And I think it was with Allie. It was adorable that, you know, they clipped it, and then she couldn't climb on things for a little while the way she used to. It was so sad.
But there's nothing as satisfying as watching a cat, like, you know, be bewildered by something. It's the best thing.
Uh-huh. We have a very scaredy cat. Like, the nieces and nephews have a cat now, and it's very tiny and scared. Due to the fact that there are two dogs now and six children running around everywhere. I feel for that poor kitty cat.
Yeah, that cat might have been better elsewhere.
Well, it'll be well loved.
Eventually.
Just maybe well stepped on, too.
Yeah.
It's a balance. Yeah. We all feel that way.
Yeah, so anyways, as we were saying, like, a change definitely occurs, and you know, the fauna that are existent now aren't necessarily what was here 1,000 or 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, it in a way, like, it's not completely sensible to say that we shouldn't change anything. But
you should be careful because there are some things there are certain weeds that are noxious weeds.
Right.
You definitely shouldn't intentionally plant them, really, unless you have a really good reason.
And that is kind of like the main problem, is that we don't tend to care. Think about that. Yeah, like we still don't really have any sort of like ecology structure, like ecology as a replacement for economics would be the sort of thing that would be needed, you know, like
back to the barberry.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it could be useful for medicinal plants and stuff like that. But pretty much everyone plants them for decoration.
Because deer won't eat them because they're pointy.
Yeah, which is, you know, the problem with ticks and everything.
Or like Arizona, where, you know, people move there to escape their allergies, but 9 times out of 10 bring the plants with them that cause their allergies. So it has like one of the highest, or, you know, it has this insanely high allergy index now.
That's
from
terrible.
it's really dumb.
And then they probably, you know, water them a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there's another like thing that I noticed when I first moved here, is that New Yorkers in general have way better water conservation, like, just built into their nature. Like I was shocked watching somebody brush their teeth and like turn the faucet off in between, like, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was a thing to not do that.
Yeah. Oh, no. And what's funny is, like, in Tucson, or in Arizona in general, like, you have these constant media blitzes and cartoon characters and mascots that are all like, I'm Drippy the Water Drip, save water, kids. And really, it just has the opposite effect. Like, it just... Yep.
And it's not necessarily the opposite effect. What it is, like, they did studies about environmentally friendly thing. Like, they had a group of people, or whatever, like, be educated on it, or have other things. And what really affected them is what their neighbors were doing. Like, if you have more neighbors who are getting, like, solar panels or whatever, then you're more likely to get it. Just, like, it's a social acceptance thing.
So,
it's weird.
So, if you live in a really conservative place where everybody's like, well, fuck you, conservation, I'm gonna water my rock lawn.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Then you're more likely to waste water. New Yorkers do seem to be more water conscious. I'm certainly more water conscious, but that's because I'm lazy when it comes to watering my plants.
It's because I read Stranger to Strangeland, and I know how important Water Brothers are.
Well, Water Brothers?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I don't remember, actually, that part of it.
But it was big on, like, you know, obviously on Mars, there's not a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I forget his name, but it sounds very banal.
Michael, probably.
Michael something or other, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know. Michael
Jesusman.
It's about that subtle. Yeah, basically, he, you know, he shares a little bit of water with somebody, and that's, you know, that's like, I'm sharing my soul with you. Yeah. That's where I got the word grok that one of my characters uses and annoys the crap out of Amber.
Yeah, well, that was one of those things where I'd read it in use, like, on the net way before because I didn't read Stranger in a Strange Land until, like, 4 years ago. And yeah, I was like, what? Yeah. Where did that come from? That's not slang, I understand. But no, see, like, when I think of water conservation, I always, of course, jump to Dune, where, because, like, that's 90% of the plot of the first book is, like how water...
Yeah, they have the reclamation suits, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Although, that's unlike the ones in the movie, are the main reason, or the main flaw in the still suits in the movie is that they completely leave your face exposed.
Yeah.
Because you lose a lot of water that way.
But for a movie, they have to keep your face uncovered.
Right. Well, no. Dread 3D proved that you do not have to have your face uncovered unless you're like an insecure actor, Will Smith. Why the fuck aren't you wearing your mask in the Suicide Squad trailer?
That is a fine point. I do know that Marvel's basically said, no, we need to show their faces whenever possible. Like, Spider-Man has to take his mask off all the time, so you see whatever white bread actor's underneath it.
Wow.
See, I don't believe that, because, like, I'm pretty sure that would mostly come from the actors. Again,
maybe
things like Dredd and RoboCop, well, okay, the original RoboCop. Like, we don't really need to see their faces that often. Ant-Man did a pretty good, you know, like, we saw him in the suit often enough.
But at the same time, the movie producers or whatever are paying for that person, for that person's face.
Right.
So they want it to be showed off because they want people to watch it in the trailers, and then, like, they're like, yes, I like that guy.
I guess, like, a balance is fine, but I don't know. I don't think you ever see Deathstroke's face in the comics. Like,
which is good.
Right.
Like,
he's a personalityless murder machine.
I'm just grateful that they're having Deadpool look all scarred and gross.
Yes. But Deadpool is a character that takes his mask off relatively often.
Right, and looks scarred and gross because that's what he's supposed to look like. Speaking of which, the trailer is one of the funniest things I have seen in a long time. Like, I read a comment that's like, if the movie is just 2.5 hours of this trailer, it'll be the best movie I've seen all year.
Yeah. And what's kind of funny, like, one of the reasons I wasn't excited about this is, like, the game came out not too long ago, and I've watched gameplay of it, and it's, like, the stupidest juvenile bullshit. Also, you know, horribly sexist at every possible turn for no reason.
Yeah, which I feel like Deadpool is not. Like, Deadpool's...
It depends who's writing him, apparently. Yeah. He's one of those characters that, you know, some people understand comedy, and some people think that, you know, it's just funny to shout balls a lot.
But Chimichanga, Daniel. Chimichanga.
Yeah. But little random.
Yeah. I did hear people commenting that Deadpool is heterosexual, and then underneath people are like, here are panels of him, like, sexually harassing, flirting with, like, literally everyone.
Yeah.
Like, hitting on Thor. He hits on Spider-Man all the time. It's like, no, he's my boyfriend.
I think a lot like Rick Sanchez of Rick and Morty fame.
Yeah.
He's almost certainly pansexual. Like, that's...
Oh, Rick has to be pansexual.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not even a question.
Yeah, he
I'm pretty sure Dan has stated
a whole hive mind.
I know. Oh, man, that poor giraffe. Now, look, I'm not asking for judgment here. Just yes or no, can you assimilate a giraffe?
Of course. One of the best characters on television.
And I have to leave you, because you're better at being a hive mind than I am.
Yeah, man, that was such a good episode.
Yeah. That.
Oh, right,
cultural appropriation.
Right.
Yeah.
So, inadvertent terror.
I don't know if this is exactly on the subject, but I know we have two movies coming out, Stonewall and About Ray, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which, well, we'll start with Stonewall, where the actual Stonewall riots one of the, if not the first, one of the first people to like throw the brick to start the riot was a black trans woman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it seems like from the trailer, instead it is a white cis gay man. And this makes people furious.
I would say understandably.
Right, because if you're going to do a docu-pic about the Stonewall Riots,
right,
do it. Don't show us Glee.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that would be very similar to, like, you know, replacing George Washington with a panda or something. Like,
I will watch that, Daniel.
Okay, yes, that would be entertaining. But
it is one thing. We definitely complain all the time about whitewashing in Hollywood.
Right.
But we also constantly whitewash history. And, get rid of things that were like, no, that's inconvenient.
Yeah. That's mostly Texas, because for some reason they control
there are even, like,
textbooks.
There are, like,
that's true.
There have been, like, in school, you don't learn about our anarchism at all.
Right.
Or any other, like, really any other political theory.
Right.
And let alone do you learn that there's, like, been a village, like, successful villages of anarchism before.
Right. Well, you know, propaganda.
Exactly.
You have to have the little ones thinking stupid things.
Capitalism.
Did you know, speaking of whitewashing history, where New York got Central Park? Because it wasn't just like that we had some land set aside. There were people living there.
I'm sure there's some horrible
black
story.
Landowners, and they're like, get off. And then they took that land. Oh, I guess at the time when people are like, well, we'd like this land, the very enlightened New Yorkers referred to it as N-word town.
Wow.
And for a long time, it was just said that it was a shanty town where, you know, some undesirables lived, and then New York appropriated the land.
Oh,
but
yeah,
no, it was a thriving, like, section, mostly black landowners.
So it's like they took Chinatown away. Except that Chinatown happened to be full of black people.
Right. After, of course, claiming that it was, you know, it's all homeless people.
Yep. Well, we couldn't tell the difference, honestly.
Yeah. I know, right?
No,
they weren't in mansions, so...
Right. Yeah, like, if it has less than 6 rooms, it doesn't count as a house, right? I mean, who could live in that?
I mean, to be honest, I'm pretty sure they were all 3/5 of a person, so... Mm.
It's true, so you'd have to tally them all up and then try to figure out what the actual...
Right,
you know.
And like, a black little person, is he like 3/10? Like,
okay.
What is the conversion
Are there
rate?
Black little people? I assume
yes!
there has
it's
to be.
Amber.
No, I assume there has Amber. To be, but there are some disease, like...
Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern show was a black little person.
Aww.
I believe he died.
No, I was just wondering about, like, the genetics of that. Like, maybe it's a predominantly Caucasian thing.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
I
know not. Like, I've... The sources are terrible, but... You know, I was, like, back in the early days of you know, watching people stream stuff, there was like a show on the TG board of 4chan that would like these guys would set up, you know, they play through XCOM and things like that, and periodically they would watch other random things, and I remember logging on once and it was like black midget porn, essentially.
Nice.
Which it very quickly went away as soon as you realized there were actual people watching. But yes,
that's
so
awesome.
So, unfortunately, I can say that, yes, confirmed, but for the all
or at least some
reasons.
Black midgets.
As a side note, I know someone whose name I'm not going to give who believes...
Wait, is it me?
It is not you. Well, who believes or who has stated that she has seen very few non-white people with Down syndrome. And so she believes that people who... are born with Down syndrome who are not Caucasian are often just neglected or outright killed. And that is why you don't see, like, Hispanic adults with Down syndrome.
Or it could be that those populations are generally marginalized anyways, so, like, your
so
chances
they're all
of running into them would
like,
be...
all of them are basically Down syndrome sufferers in her eyes, is what you're saying? Okay. You know what? That's not... That's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was actually just saying, like, you know, the reason she hasn't seen any is probably because, you know, they're already a marginalized population.
Oh, I believe
because she hasn't seen many of people of other races anyways.
Yeah.
See your point.
But, yeah, that's true. I don't know if that, maybe that isn't as
bad. Yeah, no, I went to high school with a fellow. It wasn't, he didn't have, It wasn't Down syndrome, I don't believe, but he definitely had some sort of severe like developmental disorder. Because he was probably in his 20s, something like that. Like he's right on the cusp of having to like stop going to public high school because he was too old.
You cannot appropriate high school culture, Amber. You wouldn't even understand it.
That's right.
That's true. You go back to college.
Yeah, no, although like the structure of it, I don't feel like that changes very much. It's just that you just have to solve for X, like whatever the thing is now, because it will have all changed. But you know, the basics.
That's true. I can't wear my trip clothes around anymore.
That's right.
I mean, there was someone we saw recently who was wearing definitely like bondage type pants, right? Do you remember? It was at the mall or something.
Yeah.
Those clothes still exist? Like, where did you get them?
Of course they
still
exist.
You're gonna love this. They might be retro now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even joking. I think we're having, like, a retro 90s resurgence right now. Huh.
Although, like, the 90s then, is, like, a way worse than the 80s. I don't know why you would want to do that.
You'd have to get, like, a new version of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because all the old ones, they didn't wear well. Like, no. I still have, like, a pair, maybe, but they, like, shrink and get ripped easy.
Yeah,
because capitalism.
Yeah,
because you don't want to make products that actually work. Well, right.
Yeah,
mostly just because of Hot Topic.
They don't sponsor us. We can say
a lot of their clothes shrank on me. Not all of them, but most of them did.
But I remember, like when I you know my long coat, I constantly had to dissuade people from the idea that it was a Hot Topic coat for like the few years that the Matrix was still popular. Mostly because it was like, wait, look at it. Can you see seams? Or does it look like it's going to fall apart in 3 days?
Oh, I did have a necklace break right after I bought it from them, and I brought it back and they gave me a new one.
Yeah.
The second one lasted a while.
Yeah, I find that, like almost everything Hot Topic has, is meant to expire within 3 months.
Oh, yeah, no, it's planned obsolescence to the max, which again is like, you know, an idea that only makes sense under capitalism. Let's waste resources for no good reason.
Shame, because some of the clothes is definitely cool.
Yeah.
I think they
Well, cool. Yeah, the design, yes, and that means that there's a prototype somewhere that was made well, and then, you know, they
like, how cheaply can we make this? Like, that looks great. Right. Can we make it out of saran wrap?
No. Your impoverished orphans in this third world country are making these too good. We need this to fall apart in a month.
I once saw a video, which I'll try to find a link in the show notes, where, you know, those pre-distressed jeans?
Oh, yeah.
They actually have, like, third world women, like, distressing them. But if they distress them too much, that comes out of their pay. And not, like, the 20 cents that went into making it. But, the price of how much those jeans would sell for in America.
Wow.
Which is, two months' salary.
Yeah, that's insane. It's insane.
And can you imagine, like, being one of those women, like, so these are perfectly good clothes that we're now ruining?
Right.
What is wrong with America?
Right. Yeah. Can I at least keep the scraps to, like, you know, make garments?
Well, most of them don't have scraps, because you need the little strings.
Yeah.
I know, there'd still be the fuzz. You could, maybe. The joke being that that's,
That's true.
Yeah.
You can use it to insulate your house. You can use denim for that sort of thing.
Or aerogel. Aerogel's an excellent insulator.
Yes.
What's aerogel?
It is like a carbon cloud. It's really like it's ultralight.
Exceedingly like the opposite of dense. I can't think of the word right now.
But it works as an insulator.
Yes, yeah. You can I saw a guy holding it on his palm, blowtorch like this, and he's like, "Nope, this is fine. I feel nothing."
Yeah, because there's little space for heat to transfer. Yeah. It's also, like, comparatively, you know, insanely strong structurally.
So. How expensive is it?
Expensive.
Yeah, as I say, I don't think you can make it outside of, like,
yeah, for, like,
some labs.
Industrial applications, it might be feasible, but it's never actually going to be the insulator in your house. Or really, I'd say never,
not
but...
Not yet, yeah.
Yeah. There was also, I can't remember the name of the stuff, and I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but I guess this guy invented, like, a super insulating thing. It was, like, a spray you could put on things, and I saw a video where there was spray on this egg, and they again took a blowtorch to it, then they broke the egg, and it was completely uncooked. But he died without giving anyone the recipe.
Man. And
Starlight? Star? Something like that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be able, like, I don't know.
I mean, that's one of the, like, nothing of that sort is ever lost.
Reverse engineer it? I don't know, yeah.
Eventually, you know, the only reason we don't know how to make Greek fire is because, like, you know, it's not that it's better than stuff we can make now. It's just we don't know what would have been went into it. It's similar mm-hmm. to Damascus steel, you know, we can make better things, and then eventually we might figure that secret out too, but there might have been steps that we don't understand.
Yeah.
So I did look it up. It is called Starlight. It was invented by amateur chemist Maurice Ward during the 1970s and 1980s and received much publicity, but he died without giving anyone the recipe.
Yeah, and presumably without having any samples. But I don't know. It's fine. We have graphene.
That's graphene. True.
Graphene is it's essentially like a metamaterial or a material made out of graphite particles, like thin sheets of graphite.
Isn't it like so thin that it like has different physical properties?
Well, it's an atom thick, like it's yeah. it's carbon atoms.
But like it conducts electricity really well, maybe.
Yeah, it conducts electricity it does anything really well. It's has magic. Insanely does it fly? Strong. Well,
does it make me taller?
You know what?
If you made
do some
no,
graphene
no.
bones, maybe.
Yeah, as I say, like if yeah, it's.
Ooh, can I have like adamantine bones now?
Well,
things?
Better honestly? if you had graphene bones, oh, yeah. they'd probably be better because then they might even be repairable depending
yeah,
on like how advanced
would
your nanotech
not be as
would be.
Dense. Like yeah. Wolverine's got to be pretty heavy. I don't know the exact figures. But
maybe he has a secret deal with Magneto where like Magneto's just constantly making him slightly lighter for yeah. like a very tiny kickback.
It has to be that. Because otherwise, how would Wolverine ever go against Magneto? Like, no, stop. You're yeah. frozen now.
But isn't that like...
that's been a plot point.
Yeah,
sure it has.
Well, it's a plot point that's never discussed, but there is that great Pete Holmes, you know, skit
yeah.
where Professor X is interviewing Wolverine, and that's his entire argument is just like, you know, you're useless against our primary enemy completely. Oh, speaking of, so Keegan-Michael Key is like straight up like Christian, like a lot.
Whoa,
wait, who's that?
Key and Peele.
Yeah,
okay,
he's the I believe he's the lighter skinned gentleman.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's actually the Pete Holmes and his podcast, You Made It Weird, he was on like last week, I think. And it's really interesting, but yeah, like they spend like the whole last half hour just geeking out over church stuff.
Yeah, because Pete Holmes has some very spiritual inclinations.
Yeah.
I heard him on the Duncan Trussell Radio Hour.
What's that?
This
is an entire podcast of me saying, what's that?
Daniel rolled his eyes there, and he was completely right to do that.
Yeah.
Sorry,
no, I have
Trussell.
A severe allergy to, like because I came from a true believer background, like, I have a massive, severe allergy to, like, people being wishy-washy. And Pete Holmes, like, one of the reasons that he irritates me so much is because, like, I see a lot of the same things, like, because he had a similar experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, man... Just stop being so wishy-washy. He'll
yeah.
have physicists on,
okay.
and you know, be talking to him, and he'll agree with them. Like, you know, be like, yeah, you're right. Okay, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. It's awesome when you say that. Oh, he had Tim Minchin on last week, also same week. Actually, I think we got Tim Minchin and Keegan-Michael Key, and yeah, like it was a really entertaining contrast because you know he talks to Tim Minchin, and Tim Minchin is really lenient in that sort of thing. Like he doesn't, even though he. Won't you know even though he doesn't believe in the possibility
yeah.
of God, like he's won't shit on you for it necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
On one episode he'll talk to that guy and then be like, oh yeah, no I hear what you're saying, and that makes a lot of sense, and I'm trying to let go of it, and then the next episode he'll talk to, you know, somebody who does believe, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden it's like he's right back in it and forgot everything else.
Yeah,
and it's kind of,
I feel like he is more comfortable with believers.
Well, oh no, definitely, because
yeah.
it's and usually like he's still mostly going from that fallacy of if I don't know then it must be God, even though that's not, you know, what how he's saying it, like that
no, I agree with you,
you know, that tends to be like the most common sort of thing is like people are not, even though people don't tend to believe in a sky father that cares about you directly, you know, they still also don't want to accept that, you know,
nothing cares about you at all.
Right, right. Well, so, it's still
that is
like
a sad
I don't
place to be, but
well, I mean, it takes more effort to get to a non-sad place because then you have to build it all up, you know, from solid sources, I guess, and then be able to accept that, you know, it's a relativistic emergent property that you know we have rather than something that's destined to go from point A to point B. Mm. I don't remember. I got off topic.
So that's okay. I think we're just kind of buffeting around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine.
We didn't really have a real topic.
No, it sort of kept being a cultural appropriation. So let me bring you back to cultural appropriation for a minute, kind of, sort of. And Hot Topic made me think of this. That I know a lot of, I'm going to go with Tumblr again, because you know I hate Tumblr. A lot of Tumblr people are like, you know, you can't appropriate, you know, you sang in a rap song, and that's vocal blackface, is actually a term I heard them use.
Oh, wow.
Today, vocal blackface, beautiful. But at the same time, they're all very into Supernatural, the show.
Oh, wow.
And Supernatural has a lot of religious symbols, including pentacles, and they're all happily wearing them without having any faith in those symbols.
Well, and unfortunately, like that volatile element of Tumblr is, it's very clearly more the thrill of having an excuse to yell at somebody else more than it is like actual concern, for the issue.
I think. Oh, sorry.
Oh, so no.
I think cultural appropriation of religions is more common and more accepted than other things.
Well, given that especially all of the major religions are by definition appropriated from other sources, like.
Well, I mean, like people wearing crosses for fashion.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what I mean. Like it's more common.
Well, but also, like the assumption is that everybody is Christian, so it's not
but
necessarily
it's not
appropriating as much as it is like.
I specifically am thinking of like Gothic Lolita. A lot of Japanese aren't really Christian or anything specific.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you speak to us a little bit about how the Japanese culture seems to see Christianity?
Oh yeah. Well, I was gonna say like Japan is a very special case.
Yeah, exactly. But like exactly. But like a lot of Gothic Lolita clothes are like dripping crosses.
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't want them because I don't like being dripping crosses, but. Yes, yeah, I do agree that Japan is a special case, but at the same time, like, I wish there was more Japanese spirituality in.
The basic structure of the main ones are, by it's very easy for them to appropriate other religions, because it's not really appropriation as much as like, oh yeah, no, I get that, gods and spirits, yeah, we have those too, we'll just add them to the pantheon rather than, you know, doing anything else.
That's it's very inclusive.
Oh,
nice.
The Shin Megami Tensei series of games are exceedingly interesting for that purpose, because they tend to include as enemies, like, they're all monsters and creatures from mythology, and, like, the scope of it is really interesting.
That's amazing.
Like, you have the entire, you know, hierarchy of angels and a lot of the hierarchy of fallen angels and demons, and then stuff from, you know, like Rakshasas and all these weird Indian spirit demons, and you know, it's cool.
But
stuff.
Yeah, okay, so Japan is a special case in everything.
Like, what's the difference between appropriation and remixing, in a sense? Because, like again, all culture, everything is a remix. Like, I definitely agree with that, but maybe it's one of those cases, like, the difference between the speed and the intent behind it. You're going to have emulation no matter what, you know.
It's like, I forget the evolutionary term, but, you know, falling into an evolutionary niche when there's not, like, that kind of predator. Like, the thylacine. What is that called?
It's like convergent evolution
that
or something?
That sounds right.
I could be
so
wrong.
So it's like convergent evolution of
multiple
ideas.
Things. Yeah.
Right.
If there was not a god, it would be necessary to create him. I think that's Pascal. I don't.
Yeah, I still, that's my allergy response. It's like, no!
No, I know. But you see, I do see, like, creating very similar concepts in disparate cultures. Like, you pretty much all have dragons, I guess, because you dug up some dinosaur bones, maybe?
There's a occult history corner. There is actually kind of a link between the concept of dragons and angels, if you follow the track back. winged serpents, of course.
Yeah.
Wherein the snake especially was almost always a messenger of the gods or a keeper of the secrets because, you know, they shed their skin and seem to live forever. In that kind of, you know, almost every culture would recognize the same thing. So, you know, winged serpents, messengers of God, these sort of entities, you know, they served very similar niches at one point and then symbolically, like, sort of divulged where, you know, dragons became, in the West, these gatekeepers and hoarders of value. And then in the East, they were still sort of just like more like wise old men or forces because of nature.
The real thing of value that we should hoard is right. The friendships we make along the way.
No one will get our inside jokes, Tom. But yeah, like, and like, they're river spirits, too.
Right. Nagas, and which is a thing you see shared between a lot of Eastern.
I do also know, spirits. Kind of diverging from that, but going sort of like psychology, is that, you know, we can stimulate your brain in certain ways. Like, we can make you have an abduction experience with magnets.
Mm.
You know, we can play infrasound and you'll feel haunted. So, you know, we all pretty much have the same body plan. So I'm sure someone's like, I have temporal lobe epilepsy. Nope, I see angels.
Yep.
You know, because we don't have the term, you know, temporal lobe epilepsy here.
Oh, yeah.
But I can explain this experience I had, even though, you know, I'm an Australian Aboriginal or I'm, you know, a Native American.
Or Muhammad. Like details of his vision quests sound very much like that sort of experience. You know,
yeah, which is why, you know, you have the same basic, like, mythological map.
Well, also, like, as because of the way that humans developed our ability to share, you know, information and all that, like, it does, once certain archetypes get locked in, like, we pass them on over and over again.
And if done respectfully, it's definitely a good way to, so things don't die out.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be quite possible that some, like, little, like, tribal or, like, culture might disappear because people are like, oh no, can't do that, cultural appropriation.
There was two men in Mexico that were the only two people who spoke a certain language. Right. And they're like, but we hate each other, so we refuse to talk to each other, so our language will die out for spite.
Which is also like, but that's kind of a different thing from, you know, there was no appropriation going on there. That was just like natural selection, essentially.
But if someone else was like, yes, I will learn your language, I will live your life and figure it out and teach it, like, some people would be like, you can't do that. That's their language.
They might. Although, I mean, it would depend if, like, that was, you know, who was doing that. If it was a scientist who's a linguist trying to preserve it for future use, like, they wouldn't be doing it just to you know, make a buck.
Which is essentially what people are complaining about. I think that's what the problem with cultural appropriation is, whether you're doing it for
capitalism,
for capitalism, or, like, through respectful, like, actually being respectful, or...
Yeah. Although, but then again, like, I don't know. I mean, preserving older forms, you also get into the question of, like, is it respectful in that case to, like, say, preserve female genital mutilation because it's something that was passed down for thousands of years? You know.
But we still pass down circumcision.
I was going to say, my circumcised dick might have some...
Yeah, well, no. Damn it, we need to do a show on that topic because I have a lot of feelings about it.
Circumcision? Okay.
Yeah.
Next week. Just circumcision,
you know, and of course, like, all that hype, and then we'll talk about it for like 5 minutes.
We'll research it.
Well, it used to be a longer topic,
right? Yes. But then Kellogg decided that boys shouldn't masturbate. So
yep.
Yep.
You know,
so your dick cuts him.
That's true. But
yes, yes.
That sort of thing you also have to, like, base on society will probably grow over it. You see what I mean? Like, even though, like, Chinese society still exists,
right?
The people who made shoes for people who have foot found feet are going out of business now because, like, there's one left.
I was gonna say, I don't know if there are any of them left at this point. Like, because, you know, the Great Revolution, you know, that's the one advantage of a revolution is you can institute a lot of, like, you know, sweeping changes immediately. It just usually involves killing a lot of people at the same time.
We'll make more.
that's
I do have a favorite revolution.
Sure.
That would be the French.
Yes, I love the French Revolution. I love guillotines.
But it was horrible. It was one of the things, but it's so wonderful in fiction. Yeah, well, okay, yes. No, in times of revolution are always the best for fiction because, like over the course of a story, you want things to change and to evolve. And, you know, they provide a circumstance in which in French things can evolve. But,
on the topic of revolution, how do we feel about Black Lives Matters? Well, I guess they've spoken to Hillary Clinton now, and she reacted like a scared white woman.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that video. I kind of want to, but at the same time, like, I do not care about any of the horse race bullshit. I almost don't even care about Bernie Sanders, although it's exceedingly telling. Like that's a perfect example of why they, you know, should be targeting people like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah,
because he'll actually listen, and then the next day put out, you know, have a platform exactly as they asked for. Whereas Hillary, you know, will meet them in a closed off room where I'm pretty sure she's pissed that there was video, and you know, politely not listen to them.
Yeah, I've seen screen caps. I did not watch the video. I probably should have. I was going to bring the topic up. However, her body posture is definitely like, please don't talk to me, please back away, or
My media people are making me do this because it'll look way worse if I don't, but I don't want to be,
No. And I do know that the internet's like, well, why are they not, why aren't they going up against Trump? Why aren't they going up against...
Actually, and they've answered, like, spokespeople for the movement have answered this time and time again, and it's precisely because you don't get anywhere talking to somebody like that. Trump is not going to change his mind. Carly Fiorina, like, just you know, any of their platform points, I don't know if they have even one that isn't based on a falsehood or something that's easily disprovable by, like, looking out the window.
Are you saying that all Mexicans are not rapists?
I am saying that equivocally.
Bold statement. Now, I just want you to know that the statements of Daniel Evans do not necessarily represent the other people here at Q's in a Pod.
Yes, Daniel K. Evans, hereby affirm that my statements are those of me, myself, alone, and do not reflect the interests or beliefs. Maybe not even
himself. No, well, I think he's pretty sure that all Mexicans are not rapists.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm on record saying I'm pretty sure. I'm also pretty sure that, you know, all Muslims aren't terrorists either. Ooh. I know it's weird. And hold on. Let me while I'm laying it out on the all on the line, I'm pretty sure that black people and women are people.
Black men, you're confused. Black men are after the white people, women.
Oh, right.
See? They're trying to get the women.
If I've got this right, when a white woman and a black man mate, they create Sean King of Black Lives Matters because he's biracial.
Yes.
Demonstrably biracial.
Or Beyonce.
I think she might
be mixed also.
Oh, yes, she is.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's my not totally politically correct opinion, but mixed race people are really attractive.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's you know, whatever looks I have definitely come from that.
It's
also
healthier.
If you think about plants, hybrid bigger.
Right.
But that just goes back to the basic thing of, like, if you know even the tiniest bit about how genetics works, like racial supremacy ideas immediately disappear as even remotely something you can consider. It just does not work that way.
Yeah, I have a friend whose father is mostly black, some Asian, and his mother is white. And, like, we were going swimming, and I'm like, you've got muscles. He's like, yeah, I don't even work out. I'm like, is this because you're, like, multiracial? And I'm pretty sure it is. Like, I think he's unbelievably, like, healthy and hearty because he's a good racial casserole.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
racial casserole.
Yeah.
Is there cheese on top? Did they put them in the oven?
No. See, what you do is you layer, like crushed up Lay's potato chips with the cheese, and then you want the top to be, like that, so it bakes into a nice crispy shell.
Getting some recipes here in Q's in a Pod.
Yes, that was my tuna casserole was what my mother used to make, and it would be
Do you believe that you can eat something that makes it culturally appropriate? I'm not like, we're having our Seder dinner here,
right?
You know, but
You mean like how we go to Mexican restaurants all the time and everything?
Well, yeah, no. I think that's actually like the main component of cultural appropriation is when it's something that you're adopting just for as like a trophy, essentially. Like it doesn't have any connection to the culture itself. You're just borrowing the parts you like, and then you know.
But sort like of at the same time, food culture. Context. It's such a big thing, and it's such a big thing about sharing, usually.
Well, so it used to be. I don't, like,
it depends on the culture, still. Yeah, like, yeah. People but who here, have, like, Italian not. Grandmothers and stuff, they'll, like, make them, like, huge dinners and stuff. I don't know.
Right. Well, it is, like, I think along with storytelling, you know, sharing meals is still one of the oldest sort of human things you can do, or you know, but yeah, like food is kind of a weird case because you know you do have some places that will try to be authentic to the cuisine, and then you have you know takeout Chinese food, which is nothing at all like any like you would not be able to go anywhere in China and find it except maybe you know Beijing.
Yeah. You could possibly find it somewhere, Hong but it would Kong. Probably be advertised thinking, as American Chinese food.
Right, yeah.
Which
so
is what it is.
That's why I was thinking Hong Kong, which is, you know, the...
Even egg rolls?
The colony. I mean, I'm sure egg rolls exist, but again, like, you wouldn't recognize them.
Hmm.
Like, they wouldn't taste the way you'd be expecting. Lo mein, you know, is probably exceedingly different.
Hmm.
There's Eng's in Kingston, which does, like, closer to sort of like a specific region of China, and
that's true. China's so big, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You have to regionalize it.
Yeah, very similar to you know the way we treat Africa.
It's
just you know African culture.
Are there African restaurants?
Oh yeah, yeah.
There was either Ethiopian or Nigerian one.
Okay.
In Poughkeepsie,
New York City also has a lot like that. The fads occur where you know some.
I've just never heard of one. I don't think I've ever been to one.
Well, you need to go to the city more.
Apparently, really. There's a delicious Italian restaurant in Little Italy. There, that was so good.
I do think like if you're trying to do cultural infiltration, food is probably the best way to go about it. Again, just because like it's you know, it's such a I was gonna say base level, but by that I mean like primal, you know, sort of thing. Like it's so easy. You just lay out the food.
I don't think you should be able to culturally appropriate food, but I guess you can.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone needs to eat. You don't need to wear a feather headdress.
No,
it's not like you're like.
Right, so
disrespecting it, you're eating it. You're supposed to eat it.
But what if? And again, like I think the difference there is like, you know, wearing the headdress when you have no right or reason to, or you know, opening a restaurant based on this cuisine, even though you didn't grow up in the culture and don't hire anybody that did.
That could suck.
And I think that's like what the main element of it is like when you don't have any. You're taking it and presenting it as you know your own version of it without any sort of link to the authentic thing. You know, it's different if you get permission from the cultural gatekeepers or have you know.
But then you have to, like, we live right by the culinary too, and there you can take classes based on certain.
Which I think would give you. I'm sure they're like, here's what this culture is about.
True.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know, I think like, it's probably very respectful.
Japan has a lot of fish. Why do you think Japan has a lot of fish dishes, Tom?
Because it's an island. It is an island, I know.
Yeah. And the reason that their cuisine is like so seasonally aware is because, you know, there wouldn't traditionally have been a lot of storage of things and you know, just what they had to do. But we're like, no, we're gonna keep growing fruits in the winter that don't, you know, shouldn't be there. And waste a lot of resources on it. And I'm going.
Yeah, but it's also delicious. I don't know. And then you have to think of like, what's the difference? Like, if I want oranges, okay, is it better for me to grow my own oranges somehow,
right,
or have them delivered to me? Like, which one has a lower energy cost?
Well, it depends on whether or not like can you obtain them in your area. In season, Those are like a multi-layered question.
You can never get, like, they don't grow oranges around here, Daniel. They never grow oranges around here.
So there's a question.
So if I grew, like, I mean, you can, like, if you have a greenhouse running, you could grow oranges, technically.
So then it would be a question of, like, yeah, definitely, I think, you know, if you have a local source, even if it's using more energy, then obviously that's better.
But is it less energy than
I imagine. If you're trucking them up from Florida or something like that, like, there's no question that there would be way less energy usage.
It also depends on the form you want it. Like, if you want orange juice, and you get, like, powdered orange juice or something, that's a lot cheaper to transfer than, like, fresh orange juice.
Right. Although, then again, like, that's the different question of, you know, what quality level is acceptable. But also, like, right now, of course, this is a definite tangent. But, like right now, it isn't even necessarily, like, you don't always have the case of, like, oh, I'm getting my oranges from Florida. It's more like, oh, I'm getting my oranges from Uruguay or somewhere in South America.
Mexico.
Or maybe even across the ocean.
I try and be aware of those things, and I'm like, I want this fruit, but I shouldn't buy this fruit because it's from California or wherever.
Yeah, but that's just the basic problem of, like the paradox of living in a capitalist structure.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to participate if you want to live. Like,
yeah.
And you know, it is hard to not.
And if it takes a lot of effort. I don't know, like, I read a book about someone who was eating locally, except for a few things that they're like, we have to, like, coffee and things, you can't get them local, like, and, like, flowers and stuff, they had trouble, because there aren't really local mills around here.
Right. Although, again, like, New York is, you're super lucky living here in that we have access to so much actual local stuff.
And we have, like, meat processors nearby, too, so if you just raise your animals, you can bring them over there and they'll process them for you.
We're one of the few places where the excuse of, like, oh, no, I only eat locally raised meat, like, is not bullshit.
Yep.
Although I know, like, not very many vegans accept that anyways, so that's fine.
Mm. Well, vegans wouldn't accept it all. Vegetarians, like, there are some people who are locavores. Like, they'll only eat food locally.
Right. Which I think is, like a way healthier option.
It is.
Way
better for travel and everything.
Yeah. Although, again, like, even with that, like that, it's a completely different topic, but definitely, you know, in that area, you can make very tiny differences in your diet that have massive effects. Like, just even not eating meat one day a week, you know, has a tremendous impact on that. And you know, making sure that, you know, half your meals are local will have a tremendous impact. You know,
better yet, grow your own food.
Yeah, although that's also, you know, definitely a challenge.
Grow some of your own food.
Yeah.
It's not a challenge to grow some of it.
Well, if you live in an apartment complex.
But still, like, you could grow. Well, I guess it depends.
If
you have some outdoor space,
that you'd be allowed to use. But that gets to, like, the bigger, like, problem of the basic structure of how we.
I have to look this up. I have somewhere written down a plant that it's not hardy to this zone, but if it was inside, it was, and it's shade tolerant.
Yeah.
So that, it's like just a green though, but that would be an awesome indoor plant, because if it's shade tolerant, it doesn't need the full sun. Like, that's most of the problem with growing vegetables of any kind outside or inside, is that they need full sun and they need space.
Right.
But if it, I have to research it more, but it's possible there's at least one house plant that could be useful for food.
And if it's as easy to grow as cat grass, I think you'd have something.
True, you can grow wheatgrass inside, because and any sprouts.
Yeah, as you say, like, that's the one thing that I can sort of keep alive for a little while, but it's not, I don't think I have a setup that works long term. It's like, it lasts about a week or two, and then gets nasty.
Mm-hmm. Wheatgrass?
Cat grass is wheatgrass.
Or ryegrass. I made some for my sister. I have to ask how it's doing. Rebecca, how is your cat grass kit that I made you doing?
It's going to be like 2 months before this show goes up, just so you know.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we'll see how it's doing in 2 months then. If she even listens to this, which she probably doesn't.
Ramblatron.
Oh, I didn't even get to the trans thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got distracted by whitewashing of history.
Tom's Trans Corner. Yeah.
That's yours now.
We're cornering him by trans.
Okay.
Right. I mean, with trans.
So, Stonewall, we talked about a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Way back. Rewind by about 2 hours, listeners.
There's also a movie coming out called About Roy, I think, where Elle Fanning, younger sister of Dakota Fanning, plays a trans boy, and Tumblr is irritated that this role is not being played by a trans boy, because trans boy actors are going to starve because Elle Fanning took this role. And what I have to say is, they make movies not to represent you. They make movies because they believe they will make money. And they do not believe they will make money on a nameless trans boy actor. They do believe that they will make money based on Elle Fanning.
Although, like, but that isn't necessarily a good reason to do
it
that.
It isn't a good reason, but it is why they're doing it. It's not like, how dare you not have a trans boy actor? Exactly. They want money. They're not doing it to offend you. They're doing it because you are not their target audience. They're not trying to get...
And it's better than nothing.
Well, right, but they don't feel that way.
That's one of those cases, like, I definitely don't think that a bad something is better than nothing, and we have...
But we haven't seen it. She might do a great job.
She might, but I do, like, this is, you know, my personal stance on it. It's like, I do think at this point that, you know, we... could just make the jump here and let a trans actor do it. I know they exist, like, which I think is like the issue is, like, you always come back to this thing of representation, where, you know, you just do not see people from certain categories in Hollywood, and it's because you have that attitude of like oh well, you know, I don't think that a woman lead can exist, right. Or I don't think that something with a female lead will exist. In, you know, the only way that's going to change is if there is complaints about it and you know, distress and anger and all of that.
Also, if there are indie films that do well, then they'll be more likely to be more... Because we watched that documentary on the gay cinema. You remember? Yes. And that had a very similar progression. It's like, start out with, like...
I guess then, like, I don't understand the anger at Tumblr being angry about it in a way, because, like, I to me, it, like, it seems, even though I know Tumblr can be overreactive, it does, like, to me, they're valid in that complaint.
I see that point. I understand where they're coming from, but they're like, we want this movie ripped out of cinemas before it gets there. We're gonna protest it. We're gonna make sure that there are no movies about trans people unless the main actor is a trans person,
and again, like, I know it. That probably seems hyperbolic, but at the same time, like, I'm kind of okay with it. Mostly because, again, if they actually do any of that, that might be the only way that they're actually going to get, you know, this thing happening. Because movie studios, or any of the old content producers, like, they do not move. The reason they're dying so slowly is because they refuse to take chances on anything. And it's, you know, we have to make them take.
I agree that we should try and make them, but at the same time, you shouldn't flat out, like, reject it based on that. Because, like,
why not?
Actors don't have to fulfill a certain, like, whatever they're playing.
No. But again, like...
Like, Patrick Harris is a gay man, and I've seen whatever that show that I can't remember.
How I Met Your Mother.
Right. So, but then again, like, it's almost the same question of, but she is essentially doing a variation of blackface. She's representing a culture that she doesn't belong to.
She's acting.
Right. But again, would you be...
Does
it bother you, or would it bother you if it were...
It's not, though.
Her
because,
playing... why not?
Because she's not changing... Like, I mean, she's changing her... I don't know what she's changing her look to look like or not.
Well, she,
but, like...
If I'm understanding right, I'm imagining they're using her because she probably looks like a young boy.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Is she playing
one shot I've seen of the movie, she looks like a young boy.
Now, is she playing a trans boy, or is she playing a trans woman? Is she depicting somebody who's...
Trans boy.
Okay, so
she's depicting as a, you know, born as female, wishes to transition to being male. And I don't know much about this movie, but I think it is early in on the journey of becoming male.
But also, whenever you have this sort of thing, the real thing it comes down to is what is the actual community that it's portraying what do they talk about it? What do they think about it? The trans community is, without a question, one of the most, you know, oppressed and least represented there. Like, even comparing it to the plight of, you know, African-American communities. Not that, you know, there's any, not that I'm trying to say you should be weighing them against each other. But that is a thing, though, is like, if you were going to be, you know, the kind of asshole who would be like tallying up which groups are oppressed more.
Yeah.
Trans people are at the bottom of the barrel right now. Like, it's, you can, right now, you can come out as gay and be less in danger than coming out as a trans person.
Absolutely.
Depending on the country you're in.
On the country. Yeah, I'm of course talking about America now. But similarly, you know, if you're a black trans woman, then, you know, you're almost at the exact bottom of the barrel, because heck, they've been dying because people keep murdering them.
That is true.
And we have not cared in the least until recently.
Here, I'm gonna put myself out there. And one of the reasons that I want to see more movies about trans people, even if they have to be imperfect, is because then people say, oh, so you're like that person from the movie. Okay. No, like, I have a context where I understand you in a friendly way. You're not trying to trick me. You're not a crying game me. You're not going to try to seduce me into the bathroom and make me suck your dick. You're not going to do that, right? Be like, oh, no, that's great.
So from your perspective, the movie, even if it's denying, say, like, a trans actor a position, like, it would still be serving the function of telling a story.
To create a role for 10 future trans actors in, I hope.
All right.
And see, at the same time, can you find a trans actor who has that sort of notoriety and is open and honest about it?
But that's different. Because the question you're asking is, like, it's the same thing as, you know, why don't we see more female CEOs?
Hmm.
Ultimately, that question is answered by, we do not allow them to exist. So, no, you're not going to have a trans actor with that same sort of notoriety, precisely because we're never going to give them a chance.
Yeah.
So that's a separate sort of problem there. So, I'm still okay with it. I actually see your point there, because I agree that that's probably ultimately a good thing too.
Like, I saw Trans America with Felicity Huffman portraying a male to female transsexual.
Right.
And I remember that I enjoyed that movie. Mm. You know, there was a little bit where, looking back, like, they have a scene with her penis. Like, she has to pee outside her toilet. But it's a cute movie. Like, it's basically like a road trip movie about a parent and their estranged child.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. But yeah, I mean, if it's good representation, like, if they're making this movie to sort of have, like, a trans panic thing, that's bad. I don't want that. Amber, I know that you come from a minority theology, a minority religion.
Okay.
So, movies like The Craft. I remember seeing an interview with the girls from The Craft where they're like, oh, wow, you know, they gave us these baskets with, like, all these candles and, like, weird satanic stuff. And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut your dirty mouths.
See, I'm going to have to say, I can't really give an opinion much on The Craft. Because I definitely didn't watch it when it was coming out or anything like that. Like,
but what
I can comment on is there's a singing group of pagans in Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
You know them?
Wait, the Hex Girls?
I love them, though. They're amazing.
All right, and it's very clear, like, no, we're Wiccans.
And
like,
it's very well explained for a little kids show. Like, it's very well done.
Wait, like, is this a newer Scooby-Doo run? Yes. Like, not the original, right?
No. Okay. It was one of the reboots.
All right. And that's a thing I learned.
I love that.
Well, and I remember an episode of Superman, the cartoon. And at one point, Superman's trying to go up against some sort of magic-based villain. And because Superman is weak against magic.
Right,
and
Doctor Strange.
Like, just before the commercial break, there's, like, these three, like, slightly chubby, like, women in flowing robes are like, we're the Wiccans, where do we set up? Or something like that. And it's just like a ha-ha, laugh at the Wiccans, but, like, laugh at the Wiccans sort of in a loving way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, wait, go back. What happened there? There were Wiccans, and they were called Wiccans, and it wasn't like, oh, they're secretly the devil. I mean, we're dealing with a magic-based villain who's taken over.
Yeah.
It's like most caricatures or whatever, you're going to have a serious trouble with it, because most people who are pagan or whatever look normal. Right. Like, that's you true. Can't well, characterize that's them usually like the main
point of you know,
like, so the ones that are characterized are like the weird looking pagans or the
right
out there people. What
we have Buffy, where in early seasons we had Jenny Calendar, who was, I believe, canonically pagan, right?
Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah, like she was from a, like a Romany parentage.
Yeah,
pretty sure. But then later on, like, you know, we have Willow. And she has her little group, the Blessed Bees, where, you know, they're just, you know, they're trying to chant under the full moon. They don't know about real magic. And it's like, you're trying for representation. I see it. But it's not like, I'm not getting upset because we have Allison Hannigan portraying a Wiccan. She says that she's a Wiccan.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're definitely going to hyperbole. But again, it's also the Buffyverse. We're in the Buffyverse, maybe that's how it works.
Yeah. And there's always the question of, like, is it worth it if there are some people who see it and then research it and fit in a group that they didn't like when they felt lost beforehand?
Maybe. I guess, like, kind of, you know, one of the things that goes back to, like why I still think their potential rage is justified ultimately is that it's still, you know, the difference there is like we never really had pogroms, like you never really had to worry about your life as a Wiccan, like unless you're Black or Latino or you know, in that aspect of it, like, changes it a little, I think. Like it's sort of, for me, it ends up being a get out of jail card where, like, I'll, you know,
but they're so likely to blame you for murder.
True, that but you just happened.
Like that's
true. That's true. But you're not likely to, like, it's almost unheard of that you're going to be stabbed in a back alley.
You're because more the punchline than actually being punched.
Yes. Yeah.
In, you know, so I don't know.
I see where you're coming from. I agree.
And
with
I also
you.
Like understand the frustration with seeing that too, because like I did finally see a clip of Redacted Tonight did a really great segment on, you know, the Black Lives interactions with Bernie Sanders. And that was the first time I saw a clip of them interacting with him on the stage. And it frustrated me how they sort of stormed the stage and were yelling at the same time, you know, because it kind of sounded like they were going to let them talk anyways.
Yeah.
So I get why that's frustrating. And that was my initial reaction is like, oh, well, okay, I see why people are a little upset about it. But then again, it kind of goes back to the thing of, you know, yes, this is a group of people who are desperate because they're dying literally every day. And, you know, they have no other outlets. Like, it's completely unreasonable to ask them to be reasonable in a way because they're in an unreasonable situation and facing unreasonable odds. And so, like, I definitely understand how frustrating it can be as an outsider watching this thing happen because it's a basic problem of privilege. Like, you never understand exactly what your privilege is until somebody else points it out to you. And it's always going to feel like the worst thing ever because you've never seen it. You don't feel it. You don't, you know, your immediate reaction is like, no, it can't, I can't be that. Or I don't have that. Or kind of makes you recoil a little bit when you have it.
It's almost sort of good that you recoil from your privilege. Cause it's like,
yeah.
At least then you're like, no, wait, but that's not something I want to be. Right, it's not like, yeah, I'm rich and white. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
That's not the attitude we want.
No, definitely another one of those things where almost like I wish that was one of those, you know, a class that you would take is learning how to deal with it. Because a lot of people will have that once and then have to double down because it felt so awful rather than, you know, being like, oh, all right, maybe I have to try to mitigate it or accept that it's something I can't change.
As I think you noticed, in our little apartment complex, we now have at least two neighbors who have Confederate flags in or on their cars.
Oh, no. Like, you how far it goes. Like,
yeah, it's like actually the ceiling of their car is a Confederate flag tacked up.
Just in case you don't see one for a couple of seconds, you can just glance up and there's old Dixie.
But they didn't have that before. But once it's like, oh, you know, we're definitely seeing this as a symbol of hatred, which it is.
Oh,
and so then they started having it. Yes.
Wow, okay, see, I didn't know. I thought it was a new person.
No, they doubled down.
One of them might, I don't know, maybe not.
They doubled down. And that does happen. It's like, wait, you're going to say that I'm racist? How dare you say I'm racist? Right. Let me show you how racist I can be.
Just, you know.
And that does, I mean, it does happen psychologically. Like, well, I'm just going to keep with my kind, or like, you're so wrong. I'm going to demonstrate how wrong you are. go get me a Confederate flag.
All right, let me stitch a dress from them.
Because then you're the rebel.
So. That would look amazing.
The rebellion is great, isn't it, Daniel? Like, well, in Star Wars, you want to be the rebellion, not the Empire. Yeah. The Empire saying you can't have these.
Right.
Be like Luke Skywalker, get a Confederate flag.
And again, like kind of on point, the Empire never thinks of itself as the Empire. Like, we do not think of ourselves as the Empire. We're still the rebels, even though we're dominating the globe in military bases. Like the American position is that we're still, like, you know, the ones fighting against the evil tide, and it's not, you know,
communism.
But, and I sort of think that is what happens with rebellions, is eventually become the oppressors.
Yeah. Right, without noticing.
Yeah.
Because the real enemy is authority. You live long enough
to see yourself become the enemy, or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. So ultimately, I guess, like, you know, yay anarchy, because, although I still think, you know, governing systems.
Well, yay volunteerism.
That's kind of tepid. Yeah, volunteerism.
Well, that's a lot. That's a big part of anarchism, is that, like, you have to consent to be ruled.
Although, like, that would be a whole other topic, because, like it does bring in a lot of problems with just, you know, you can't have community without, you know, like if you're predicated on everybody has to volunteer to be participating. I don't know, because then you run into issues like it's very easy for parasites to just kind of hang out and, you know, take advantage of things. Yeah, but you can also shame them. You can't.
Shame is not as great a motivator as you think.
And at the same time,
it depends on how big the community structure is.
If they volunteered to be a part of this community, they have to do their duty. Otherwise, they're free to not be part of the community anymore and find someone else who's fine with their lazy lollygagging.
Yeah, which, and again, I know, like,
which,
like,
then you get problems with family groups and stuff too.
What ideal social structure, ideal in the sense of, like, you know, functions and allows progress without falling into the pit of capitalist horror or whatever. Because, like, one of the big sticking points a lot of times with, you know, visions of that sort of society is, like, so then how would you do, like, a Large Hadron Collider in that situation? Because, like the resources necessary for that would be way beyond any one, you know, village, unless it was operating like an empire.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, without something like that, you know, we don't understand how the universe works, and then, you know, can't advance.
Those are cool. I'm glad you're using that rather than my roads!
Yeah, well, I mean, roads are important, though. Like,
they are,
like,
important, but they're so important that anyone's going to make them.
You can make roads
yourself, pretty much.
You can, although, like, there the question is, like, if, you know, if it is isolated communities, you know, if one community decides not to make roads, like, it impacts everybody else, because if you have to trade with community on the other side of that one, then you have to go over their shitty roads, and roads do need to be maintained, or they...
No, I agree. You know. But at the same time, our capitalist structure is not good at maintaining roads or bridges or anything.
And of course, like, that is, like, libertarians often like to go, oh, well, we just privatize them all. And it's like, yeah, but do you really want to have to pay a toll every fucking time you go to work or whatever?
Or
drive to the
anywhere.
Park? Right. And then have it, you know, in true capitalist fashion, not even be maintained for the cost. Since, you know, capitalism requires you to cheat your customer.
Yep. And then, like, wow, that would suck. Walking paths would become popular, maybe.
Well, but those would also have to be maintained and would probably be owned by the same people that
I mean, like, woods paths.
But,
like,
except that, like,
as long as they're connected.
There are definitely optimum routes, and if a group was able to privatize the roads, it would be very easy for them to also privatize whatever the footpaths
depends
were.
On how the legal structure is, but yeah, because I know in Europe there's, like, a day that you're supposed to go walk on all the paths, because if they're not used once a year, they go back to private property.
I did not know that.
That's
I think you're the one who told me this.
I may have forgotten.
Probably. You probably read it online, and I absorbed it.
Yeah,
I accept that.
So obviously, skip ahead to wherever this conversation started, because, like, it got exciting.
Yeah,
there is some pretty cool like ecological designs that I've read that like for a housing community, you have like back access roads for cars, but like out your front door is like walking paths and things. So yeah, it encourages like community like that. Like you have to walk to some extent.
Which is definitely like one of the things that you would have to try to fix. Cause like the biggest issue with American society is that it's atomized to this degree that you do not have communities in most cases. Man. And you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that you don't work anywhere near where you live, and and you know, you're kind of encouraged to live in these isolated little groups, and
you're not really encouraged to talk to the people who are in your
you don't have enough. Yeah, well, of course, and, you know, if you're in a poverty-stricken area, like there's very little incentive to work with your neighbors because you're all starving and might steal from each other, and
yeah,
all those other issues. But yeah, like redesigning our work and living spaces, or redesigning the way we have towns would be like
huge community builder.
and absolutely necessary for any sort of actual change to happen, because like the physical structure of how you interact with different people, like. It matters. If you don't, if you can't have people hanging out in a common space, then you know, because like on my street, for instance, you know, there is, if I wanted to, you know, try to call a community gathering of any sort, there's nowhere to do it.
Yeah,
it would have to be in somebody's house. But like all the houses on the street are subdivided into multiple apartments, so you'd have to like somehow convince an entire house's worth of people to be like, oh, let's let all your neighbors come in, and
or you have to take out the street.
Or like, you know, go down to the one place that is sort of open, which would be the library, but the library is kind of like this little fortress, and you know, it's in a completely different community
because
it's
on a different Daniel. Street.
Theoretically I would like to, but I'm also
don't want to bother.
I would not be able to live in the society that I think would be optimal for human beings. Like I would still be an abnormal element. But that's me and
well, I there are always outliers. Like you have to keep them in mind.
That's true. I mean, but yeah, like I mean, and I attribute that to like I'm pretty sure that it was something with my upbringing and not an actual ingrained flaw in my design. So you know, hopefully you wouldn't have more of me.
But we want so many of you.
I don't know. I think the parts you like about me could exist without the parts that can't handle being around people.
So a lobotomy is the answer.
We're not lobotomizing people. Aww. Daniel Lives matters.
you have to do like the Hannibal thing at the end of the book Hannibal, where he essentially like feeds Paul Krendler his own brain because
nice.
That's complicated.
It's the scene that Anthony Hopkins, like, he almost didn't do the movie because he said he wouldn't do it the way that they described it in the book. Like, they had to,
Creepy. He does like feeding people to themselves.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, that was so good.
I wish I had enough time and, like, energy to cook meals the way he does. Except the person made out of people part.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, you know, you just have to be independently wealthy.
Yeah,
exactly. And, like, take tons of culinary classes.
True. Being rich gives you certain privileges.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, that's another one of those sort of arguments for, like as a species and a society, if we actually want to, you know, advance to Star Trek levels, we would have to be in a position where, you know, almost anybody would be able to pursue their hobbies to that degree.
Yeah.
Without having to waste time, you know.
Yep.
Toiling at a desk.
That was the idea of all this automation and technological.
Well, that's always what they.
Innovation.
Yeah, that's always what they sell us on. Like, oh, cell phones. It'll save you so much time.
It'll waste you so much time.
And it also means your boss can reach you anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can't ever stop working because you know.
Oh, that's why I don't give my job my phone number. They're like.
I mean, like it's a very layered problem because it's you know there's too few people doing too much work, and then you end up working on the weekends not because you want to or you're dedicated, but because you absolutely have to get what you have to get done. That's why they want us too busy to gather. And
I did work at a educational publishing company that will remain nameless here, but there would be times where there was no work for me to do, and I'm like, so what do I do? They're like, you need to look busy.
Right.
Which was great for me because I'm like, I will type books. I'm writing stuff. I like busy, right? Yeah. I couldn't go on the internet, even though I had full internet access. But I could, there was a company-wide messenger that connected to AOL.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, we have that in the bank. Like I swear it's just AOL Messenger with like a different
skin on it. And like I could connect to my other departments that way, but mostly I just talk to people I knew. And I typed things in between actually doing work. And I'm like, I would much rather you give me some project to occupy me. But if I ask for work, I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm just going to sit here until I'm told to do something.
Right.
No, I agree.
America.
I've had the same problem with my jobs. Like, obviously, security, like, you don't have work usually unless something happens.
Well, you know, it's definitely one of those, like, the entire point of it is that you're hopefully never going to have to do anything. Like, you're just there.
When I worked for IT, there are occasion like breaks and things, and people are like, "What are you doing? Look at tickets!" Or like, "We're sitting here looking at tickets. There's nothing."
Well, in the way that they fix that, because when I first was working at my place of business, like I had that problem sometimes too, where like it was way more important to look busy than to actually be busy, to the point that, you know, other people from completely different departments, if they saw you like enjoying a moment of rest, you're gonna get fucking reported, and you know, because it is sort of like a
luckily
game.
With IT, we didn't usually have to look busy too often. Like, there are definitely times that I spent way too much time being paid to play solitaire, because there are tons of times that you're just installing stuff on people's computers and you have to sit and wait for like a Windows service pack or like Word to install, and it takes like hours.
Well, now what they did, of course, is like you just have so few people that you know, nobody has time to rest, and then, you know, it fixes it that way. Except, of course, then if, you know, say your boss goes on vacation, suddenly there's literally nobody other than you who knows how to do any of the stuff you need to do. So then if you get sick, you have to come to work.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the CDC came out and said that most illnesses in America are caused by lack of sick days off.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so you go in, you eat food, and that person has the flu, but they can't go home sick. There's no going home sick. Right. So you're going to get sick, and you're going to spread it to everyone else.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the restaurant industry, the fast food industry, they're all very notorious for that, where it's, you know, you technically get sick time, but you also definitely get in trouble if you use it.
Yeah.
And there's also like, if you take sick time, or if you just don't get paid.
Right. Oh, you know? Yeah.
So, like, with my job, I get paid by the hour, very part-time and everything. Mm. And, like, Tuesday, it's like, there was, like, a air quality warning or something on the radio, and I was like, well, I don't actually care too much about it. And then, like, it would suck if someone was actually scared of an air quality but had to go to work because they needed the money.
Right. Well, like,
and that's how it always is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know, like, as I've said before, like, there's a great picture of me from my first Christmas up here where I'm just yellow, but I had to come to work because, like, I hadn't been working there long enough to have sick time, and, like, I could not afford, you know, to not be there. And then I'm pretty sure I got everybody else sick because...
Yep. That happened to my sister. Just got hideously sick because someone at her work wasn't there sick or something. And they learned not to be near her when they were sick.
Right. And you know, and a lot of times, like, it isn't even necessarily the manager's fault, because a lot of times they can't afford to let you go.
Yeah.
Like, or their, you know, stuff won't get done. It's definitely a systematic problem. Like, it's a fundamental structural boo capitalism.
Not letting you off for sick. And same time, you know, yeah, but then if you did allow it, then people would just take off and abuse it.
Yeah. Although, again, like, you know, that's
why you have to make jobs that people enjoy to go to.
Right. Or again, like, you know, just take advantage of the fact that a lot of the work that we do is pointless and doesn't actually need to be done, except, like, you know, it's recursive. It needs to be done only
and
because
some
it
of it
needs to be done.
Can just be done at home, probably.
Yeah, or by robots, or you know, by abolishing the capitalist structure. Banking is mostly, like, pointless, busy work that only exists because, like, you know, you have to justify banking.
Sorry.
I don't have anything to do with any of that. I just get to yell at lawyers and match numbers. As Pete Holmes would say, this podcast is free. You don't even have to pay for this.
No one even pays us.
No one pays us.
It's true.
We feed Daniel every week.
Yeah, actually, more or less. Yeah. Like, I'm the parasite here. I just sort of show up.
It's true, because I don't have any unhappy memories of you.
Yeah. I don't know. That can't be true.
No, it's probably not. But still. Okay.
Still.
I don't know.
Daniel and Melanie and you have hung out at the same time.
Yeah, although I don't know if I was there for any, like...
Of her.
Yeah.
Sorry, Melanie.
So it's like a proxy.
So you're just going to lie to the microphone now?
No, I like Melanie.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't had any interaction with her recently enough to not like her.
No, she's good people.
Yeah, that's sort of like the thing where, like, you can tell if you didn't work for somebody, you'd probably be their friend.
Yeah. I hate that.
Final thoughts. Capitalism is bad, especially in how it leads to cultural appropriation. And sometimes cultures appropriate themselves, too.
I have no idea what that means.
Wait.
That sounds like another podcast. Like when we were in Lake George, occasionally we'd see like they're like little crappy Native American things that are like labeled as made by Native Americans and everything, and I'm like,
you ride the wave.
This is horrible.
I don't know if that's like self-appropriation so much as like a survival tactic.
Yeah,
I agree with that. But in some cases, like it's like asking for people to culturally appropriate you.
Yeah. Well, or it's just like, you know, taking the only option you can see. It's like you know, becoming a prostitute or a sex worker because you know you can't. There are no other.
So capitalism is evil, especially in how it relates to cultural appropriation.
My final thought, cast people in movies. Representation. There are definitely trans actors out there. They've been pretending not to be trans all this time. They're probably way better than Elle Fanning. So cast them in roles, aside from in prison. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.